Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:55, and that is Pacific Summertime, and today is June 23rd, and quite a momentous day in the history of Europe, and not least for the UK. And regardless of which way it goes, one really does have to have the greatest respect for the democratic process within the UK, because at least the people get a chance to debate significant issues. Whereas there isn't the same degree of debate within much of the EU, and then governments are extraordinarily reluctant to offer the same type of opportunity to their own populations. But perhaps that will change as time goes on. But again, let's leave politics aside and look at the markets. And despite the fact that you had the Brexit camp ahead in the polls, which resulted in quite a sharp sell-off last week, that has been completely unwound this week, and the majority of markets were in positive territory today and up in excess of 1%. Although, for example, the FTSE did pair its advance towards the end of the day. The pound also paired its advance, and really the pound has been the lightning rod for sentiment here. So it was up almost 2 full cents, and yet it was still about 0.6 of a cent off its high, and this is the highest it's been all year. So and the pound has been trending lower for nearly 2 years. It was, and it feels like a long time ago, but 2 years ago it was trading at 170, and right now it's at 148, just shy of 149, in fact. But it was at 140 earlier on this week, or I guess late last week. So a lot of the bad news that had been priced in has already been priced out of this market. And I think we could probably say the same thing for stocks. And there's certainly some of the safe haven buying of bonds is beginning to be unwound. You've had a fairly impressive bounce, for example, on gilt yields. And the German Bund is no longer trading below zero. But of course, despite continued volatility, we are going to have an answer within less than 12 hours. And whatever that answer is, it's going to remove a certain degree of uncertainty from the market. And when we start looking at the charts and just look at the price action and really spare ourselves further considerations of politics, then the relative strength of Wall Street is truly impressive. When you look at, for example, the Dow Jones, it's currently clocking 18,000 even. And it's been ranging below that 18,000 level for a fair amount of time already. And then when you look at, for example, the S&P 500, it's within 30 points of its all-time peak. And the Nasdaq, which had perhaps a larger pullback and has got a bit more work to do in order to break the progression of lower rally highs, it was up a percent and a half in here today. And the Russell 2000 is also has broken its progression of lower rally highs. Now, when we have to look at why might that be happening, and of course the first thing is that these markets have been range-bound for a year and a half already. So a lot of the excess that would have been in evidence at the beginning of 2015 has been unwound. And then we have a well-defined range, and a range is an explosion waiting to happen. Now, the particularly impressive bull market that we had between 2012 and 2015 was, we characterized it as being liquidity driven. And then let's think about, has there been a change to that? Well, of course, the big change was that we had the Fed tapering, and that resulted in less liquidity being added to the market. And that is perhaps what Wall Street responded to and has been largely range-bound since. Many people were expecting the pace of interest rate increases to improve, to accelerate, and a gradual unwinding of extraordinary monetary policy. But what we had this week was Janet Yellen being very dovish and saying that and a number of Fed governors envisaging one interest rate hike this year, which is significant backpedaling from the first quarter of this year where they envisaged four. So then let's think about it and just look at central banks individually. If the Fed is not going to be raising rates at anything close to the pace that they were anticipating at the beginning of the year, then monetary policy is going to remain relatively easy. And then that might even be an understatement. It could be very easy for the significant future. The Eurozone has got negative interest rates. That's inherently deflationary. But at the same time, the ECB is willing to take just about anything as collateral in return for bolstering the capital of the banking sector. There is no prospect of interest rate hikes in the Eurozone anytime soon. And then the potential is rather that if we have deflation and the ECB's only real mandate that's actually written down on paper is for it to achieve an inflation target. So they're going to be printing with alacrity over for the foreseeable future. Then the yen today was weaker by a yen and a half. It's the first upper dynamic for the dollar in a while. Now there's still a progression of lower rally highs, and it would need to really break those to confirm that the yen is going to weaken further, and it has already appreciated pretty significantly over the last year. So, and then that has unwound a lot of the yen's oversold condition and done more so, more than that, in fact. And we haven't had a great deal of commentary from Japan as to what effect that has had on the domestic economy, but they need to achieve inflation. They have literally bet the farm on trying to achieve inflation and to reinvigorate growth, and having embarked upon extraordinary monetary policy, it's very difficult to then say, no, we're not going to do that anymore, because the excesses that it will have built up then rapidly turn into major problems. So they're going to continue along the path that they have selected until they achieve their goals. And that is the sort of the Faustian pact of quantitative easing, it would certainly appear. Therefore, we're going to have additional monetary easing in Japan at some stage. When we look at China, then very interesting articles in here today talking about the fiscal spending and deficit spending, perhaps more accurately, that China is engaged in, and potentially amounting to 10% of GDP last year, and expected to be larger this year. And there's no evidence of that in the stock market. But what we do see is that the renminbi continues to trend lower, and it's at a very mild pace, but it is going lower. And there's a well-defined uptrend for the dollar there, with a clear progression of higher reaction lows where support is found at progressively higher levels following reversions, and it's finding support in the region of the trend mean on successive occasions. So while there is potential for some additional consolidation for the dollar here against the renminbi, a break in that progression of higher reaction lows would be required to question the continued devaluation of the Chinese currency in response to the deficit spending that they're engaged in, and what amounts to both monetary and fiscal stimulus. Then if you start taking all of that together, then we're still in a liquidity-fueled environment, which raises the potential that we could see major indices like those on Wall Street breaking out to new all-time highs. And if they do that, then obviously Europe has got issues. The Brexit debate highlights those issues. There are significant challenges that lie ahead, because what the Europeans are engaged in is nation building, and that doesn't simply happen overnight. And certainly it would be highly desirable if the nation they build would be more democratic And you never know, we might have more countries getting their say in how that develops at some point in future. But in the meantime, European shares are trading at a discount to those in Wall Street. And the potential is that if Wall Street's breaking out, that they have the potential to play catch up. And they've been trending lower for over a year. So it is an interesting time to be watching these indices, because they've priced out a lot of the bad news, pricing in, and I think that is perhaps the most accurate way of saying it. They've priced out bad news rather than pricing in good news. So what happens next week is going to be really key here, because we have now replaced short-term oversold condition with short-term overbought conditions. And a number of these indices are back testing their progressions of lower rally highs. And in the event that they break those progression of lower rally highs, and particularly if that is accompanied by Wall Street breaking out to new all-time highs, then the potential is that Europe will outperform. And then when we look at how the dollar has been performing, then the majority of commodity-related currencies are back on recovery trajectories. For example, the Australian dollar was stronger today by over a cent. The Canadian dollar stronger by about 0.75 cents. But then look at some of those other commodity currencies, and not least those in Latin America, where you have peace breaking out, at least partial peace breaking out in Colombia, and the Colombian peso bottomed last year and has now found support in the region of the moving average. The same with the Brazilian real or the Indonesian rupiah. So the underperformance of emerging market currencies is looking increasingly likely to be over. And that's positive by and large for commodity-related stock markets. So then we could be entering a period of time where this risk-on, risk-off environment that we have been treated to for much of the last year may be coming to an end, and we might just go into a risk-on environment as we move towards, rather than synchronized economic expansion, how about synchronized monetary expansion? And if that is indeed the case, that would also help to explain why gold prices have been so firm, that gold is down 7 in here today and back towards $1,250. But relative to how much it had gone up already, that's a pretty shallow pullback so far. And silver, in fact, finished up on the day, as did palladium, whereas platinum took it on the chin in here today, and it was down 15, but somewhat off its lows. Well, then there is the potential that if we're going to move into a period of synchronized monetary expansion, then the potential for assets to perform that simply cannot be printed into existence, not least property and precious metals, then they could outperform in here, and that would also generally be positive for stock markets. So what happens over the next few days is going to be very key, because the way things have moved so far this week, we do have short-term overbought conditions. We might yet get a downward dynamic on a buy the rumor, sell the news type of scenario, but then we should be watching those 200-day moving averages, because and particularly on Wall Street, and for Europe, where many indices are still trading below their respective MAs, then we'd be looking at last week's lows, because if we see support coming in above those lows, then that would be an indication that we've had some bargain hunting. So it's going to be a very interesting 24 hours, and perhaps a very interesting week, as we see where markets actually begin to steady out. But so far, it is looking relatively benign in terms of asset pricing. And that is, of course, assuming that the Remain camp actually wins. And we should just take a moment to consider what would happen if the Remain camp loses. Then the chances are that the rallies that we've had in stock markets would be unwound immediately. and then markets could potentially go lower, and then the reaction of Europe would be perhaps acrimonious, but then they would also have to deal with increasing claims for referenda in other countries, and that would introduce a great deal of uncertainty. So bonds would rally, safe haven assets would rally, and risk assets would pull back. And of course, after that initial panic, the response of central banks would be to flood the market with liquidity, and that would have a negative effect on currencies, but it would be very positive for gold, for example. So again, there is and I think everyone has understood that there is little chance of it happening, but we sort of know what the potential would likely be in the event that Brexit does in fact succeed in getting people convinced that the UK should leave, which would be good for democracy overall. But it would obviously have short-term and potentially medium-term repercussions for asset prices generally. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.